Good morning, Cornerstone. It's an honor and a privilege to get to spend some time with you today and over the next few weeks. Now, let me say this to you. I've watched you. I've observed you for many years. And I've been continually amazed at the things God has done in you and in this place. So I count it a great privilege to be with you during this time of transition, if you will. Now, as Alan said, I'm truly nothing special. I tend to be very real. And I believe if there's ever been a time in today's world for the church to be real, it is today. So let me say this to you. I know that you're in a very difficult time in the life of your church right now. And I know that we've only known each other now for, maybe about 30 minutes. But let me say this to you. I want to ask a favor, and it is simply this. That today and over the next several weeks, every time we get together, I want to ask you to put aside any personal schedules or calendars or thought processes or agendas or anything you may have and enter into every moment we have together. Forgetting about what's happening this afternoon or tomorrow morning, forgetting about even who's sitting to your left and to your right, understand that we are entering into the presence of God and we have an opportunity for God to do something very special in each one of us individually. And then to do something in you as a church. Now, when a church goes through a time of change, it tends to affect people on many different levels. So I would just ask that you do that for me. Just block everything out except what Jesus would do in your heart. Right now. Now, notice the title of today's message, Above All. We're going to be talking about loving God and loving God above all others. Now, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at a simple yet profound order in which we, the church, now, anytime I say the word church, I'm not talking about just Cornerstone. I'm talking about the church, Big C, the Bride of Christ. Look at this list here. This is an order that we, the church, are to love. You cannot remove any one of these and be effective. At the same time, you can't remove any one of these or move them around in any particular order, get them out of order, and be effective as a church. We must always love God above all others. Love each other and love unbelievers. You can't love unbelievers unless you first love God. You can't love each other as you should unless you love God above all. They must always be in this order. God being first. These principles, the early church guide. I want you to notice Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, notice this, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Notice the first thing. First and foremost, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They're loving God. They're worshiping God. They're praising God first. Secondly, they're breaking bread from house to house. I don't know about you, but you can tell by looking at me. I like to eat. And one of the wonderful things about breaking bread with your friends is you're spending time in fellowship, right? You're loving on each other. When you break bread from house to house, when I go into somebody else's house, man, I'm getting the privilege of walking into their household. They're opening the doors and letting me into their life. That's love. And then notice this. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity or singleness of heart, praising God. But notice this in the next part. They're loving God first. They're loving each other. And notice what happened. They found favor with the people. They found favor with those that were around them. The world outside said, wow, these first century Christians, this brand new church, man, I want what they've got. Because they obviously love their God above all else. And then they love each other. And I want it. And look what God did. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Now, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to use these verses, if you will, and we're going to kind of pull these precepts out of them. Loving God, loving each other, and loving unbelievers. And then we're going to look at each one of those through the lens of some supporting scriptures. And then apply them lastly. Not just to Cornerstone, but to the church Big C. And to our individual lives.
my God and my King. What a great honor and privilege it is to enter into your throne room with this very precious group of people. Lord God, I've watched you do some amazing things through these people. And Lord God, it is my firm belief and my firm desire that their best days are yet ahead of them. I look forward to what you're going to do, not just today, but Lord God, in the days, weeks, months, and years to come here at Cornerstone Baptist. And Father, as wonderful as our time together has been, you have brought us to the point of hearing a message from you. And Father, these are some very imperfect, fallible lips. Father, I just ask that every word that comes from my mouth would bring your glory and would speak your truth. I praise you for preaching this message to me first. Father, I ask that you let me preach it with boldness to your people, that they might hear your message. Father, open hearts and minds that they might receive that message, and that your message would be applied directly to our lives. That we might leave these doors, not saying only that it's been a good day to have been in the house of the Lord, but that we might leave these doors changed as we spend time with you. In Jesus' name,
amen. All right, if you will, take your copy of God's Word and meet me in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. I hope this is okay. All that can, please stand in honor and in reverence to the reading of God's inerrant and infallible Word.
Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind."
May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. Now, I'm gonna take it easy on y'all. That's the one verse we're going to read today, so y'all can be seated. I've got some others that I'm going to present to you, but this particular verse is Jesus' response to a question posed to him by a Pharisee. The Pharisee came to Jesus and said, "Hey, what is the greatest commandment?" And notice what Jesus says here. Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord." What's that next word? Your. You shall love the Lord your God. Now, maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, "Okay, yeah, I've heard this passage many times before. Preacher, I know what it means. It means that we're to love God with all that we are." Yes, you are 100% correct. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. What I want to do is look at this verse just a little bit different today. For this is the greatest commandment. The great commandment, according to Jesus, is we are to love God above all. Love Him first. But I want to look at how God works. I don't know about y'all, but for me, I find that if I know how my God loves, I get convicted just a little bit harder on how I'll love Him back. You see, I think so many times we treat the things of God as kind of a list of rules, a list of do's and don'ts. We want to make sure we check off that to-do list so we get that gold star at the end of the day. Anybody else get gold stars from using grade school? Y'all shaking your head, "Yep, I got some of those, preacher." Yeah, when you did all the things you were supposed to do, you got that gold star for the day. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? So many times we treat the things of God that way. If I pray like I'm supposed to, I read my Bible like I'm supposed to, I be in church like I'm supposed to, and I can check it off and it's, I did my God thing right. Like I'm supposed to. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way the walk with God is supposed to look. He loves us. I'm going to talk about that today. He loves us in such a mighty way. We will never, be able to preach through all the ways that God loves. But I want to touch on just a few of them this morning. And my prayer is that as we preach through this passage and we connect it with others, that we'll see the different ways that God loves, and then we'll understand a little more about why we ought to love Him above all. All right, so notice right here, "You shall love the Lord your God." That word "your" here indicates that we are to love. We have a God that is our own God. This tells us that God loves in a very personal, real way. God is not some way out there in space. He's not the man upstairs. He's not some God that is too far for us to have anything to do with. He's not some God that is way out there and it's impossible for us to have a connection with Him. He's not a God that we can have this distant relationship with. No, our God is not impersonal. Our God loves us personally and deeply. So much so that He created man differently from any other creature. Now Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 tells us, "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Now, our family just got back from some time at the beach, so I guess I was kind of struck with the way some of those kids built some of those sandcastles. This is just kind of the way this might have looked. Scripture doesn't tell us exactly what that moment looked like. Only that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. So I can imagine that God, He gathered up a bunch of dirt, and when He got just the right amount, God began to form it into the shape that was in His mind. And in His mind alone, God knew exactly what He wanted man to look like. And then after He had it just the way He wanted it, after He had it just perfect, the Lord God Himself, He breathed life into this earthen vessel, into this clay vessel. And Adam instantly sprang to life. Adam knew two things immediately. First off, that he was the culmination. He was the climax, if you will, of God's creation. Have you ever thought about that? That's who you are. You're the greatest thing God ever created. Second thing Adam knew is he was created to worship. He was created to have a relationship God the Father. See, man was created to have an unending relationship of love with God the Father. See, God loves us. God loves us unconditionally. Love is not something that our God chooses. It's the very essence of who He is. He doesn't just love, He is love, according to 1 John 4:16. God is love, and He loves you in a personal, real way. Now, He doesn't love like we love today. So many times, I think we love today in a self-satisfying kind of love. We love self. We love when it's convenient. We'll love as long as that person makes us happy. We'll love as long as that relationship benefits us, but not God. God loves unconditionally. Now, I said unconditionally. That doesn't mean He loves everything we do. There are things that we do that grieve God greatly. God doesn't love. He continues to love me, but boy, He sure doesn't love the things that I think in my mind when I'm riding down the road. See, y'all don't understand. We're riding down the road early in the morning, and I'm running late. The preacher is the only one that's got an agenda. So when somebody cuts him off, sometimes he gets upset. It's not right, but he does. God doesn't like it when we have ugly thoughts about others. But He never stops loving because He loves personally. He loves intimately. That's one way that He loves, is loving personally. And all that God asks is that we would love Him above all. He asks that we would love Him above all others. So I want to ask you this question. As a church, do you love Him above all? That's a real big question, so I want to expand on that just a little bit. Cornerstone, do you love Him above all? Do you love Him above all your programs? Do you love Him above all your positions? Do you love Him above all your traditions? He loves you personally. Do you love Him above all, above everything? And let's take that down just a little bit from the church level to the individual level. Do you love God more than you love your spouse? Let's take it down just a little bit further. Do you love God more than you love your children? Now it's getting real. Do you love God? Here's where the rubber meets the road. Do you love God more than you love yourself? I can't answer these questions for you. Trust me, they were hard ones because God preached them to me first. Let's go back to the church level just a minute. If you say to yourself, yes, absolutely, we love God above all, does it show?
Does it show in the way that you love each other? Does it show when you're on the phone, when you're free, and you're sharing that prayer request? Let's be real. Sometimes that's a license for Christians to gossip, right? Does it show when you're sitting around the dinner table? You love him above all so that you can love others you're supposed to. And back out and ask you a really hard question. Because I don't know the answer to these questions. I'm just asking, as God told me to. If you love him above all, what would this community say about that? Would they say, man, yeah, that church down there, they love God first. It is so clear. They love God first. They love each other. I want what they have. What would they say? Does it show?
In the way that you, God's church right here, minister to this community. Listen, if you believe that God created Cornerstone Baptist Church for a very special work, and you desire to see this place filled up and overflowing again, if you desire to see this baptistry continually in use, listen to me, Cornerstone. You gotta get this right. You gotta love God first. Above all, His love for you is not some way out there abstract ideal. God's love for you is a concrete reality. Now think about that. As a friend of mine says, just let that sit with you a minute. God's love for you is a concrete reality. Your God loves you personally, intimately, and deeply. How do you love Him back? Let's just take our prayer time just a little bit. I've been here about 15, 20 minutes in the pulpit. I'm going straight to meddling. Okay, here we go. Y'all hang on. What does your prayer time look like? One of the things God has really been working on me over the last, I don't know, several weeks is my prayer time. Now, y'all think, well, now, preacher, you ought to be praying more than anybody else. No, don't work that way. You realize the average pastor only prays about 7 to 11 minutes a day. We ain't perfect either. And as Paul said, I'm chief among sinners. So what does your prayer time look like? That time when you love God, when you go before God's throne, what does that look like? Do you ever find yourself from time to time with your cup of coffee in one hand, maybe a briefcase over your shoulder, you get in your car, you're driving down the road, you're cruising down the US 52 wide open, thinking about all the things you got to go and go on that day, and about 5 minutes before you walk into the office, you think, oh my goodness, I forgot to pray. This is an ideal time for me to do that. So you rush into God's presence, you say, okay, God, I've got this meeting today at 11 o'clock, and then God, oh, don't forget my child. Oh my goodness, my child's got AOGs today. And then, Lord, we got this need in our family. And then, Lord, I'm sorry, but that's the whole time I got to go. We close that prayer out. Well, maybe we go before God's throne and we rush into His presence and say, now, God, Sister so-and-so, she's got surgery today. If you would just be with her. And I got this going on today, Lord. If you would just be with my child here. And Lord, if you would just be with my wife and husband. Thinking, you know what? God's reality is this. His Spirit dwells in us. Our God is always with us, right? Should we not take the time and never rush into the presence of God? And in love, in humility, brokenly, come before our God and say, oh God, this is what I am today. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And Lord, I'm broken. I'm broken over what were these issues that I've got with my church, with my family. Lord, I'm broken over the fact that my child's got EOGs, I think y'all got some EOGs tomorrow. Your school children. I got this meeting today, and Lord, I just want to do a good job. But Lord, I always want to tell you how much I love you. Because I know you love me personally. I know you love me intimately. I know you love me in a real way. That's a concrete reality. And Lord, I praise you for that. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 2 says this. Do not be rash with your mouth. May the Lord God forgive me for all the times I've been rash with my mouth. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are in earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Church, should we not from time to time enter into the presence of God and just say, oh God! And just relish, just celebrate
How majestic majesty is and beautiful that our God is. And just stand in awe of all that He is. And just love Him personally, intimately, the way that He loves us.
The second way I want you to understand that God loves you
is that God loves you in a way that you can experience. Man, so many times we think about the fact that, well, I knew my God loved me the day I got saved because I felt it. And then from time to time when I have this great need and I go before Him and I pray, I feel His Spirit, I feel His presence, and I know that He loves me. But you know, He testifies to His great love, His great glory, His majesty, each and every day in this world that He created perfectly for man. Too many times we just miss it. We just miss it. Let's be real. Very often in this world, we're all about ourselves. We're all about ourselves. When you look at nature, when you look at this world in which we live, it is very easy to see more than the simple fact that for He's an amazing creator, amen? He truly is an amazing creator, but He's more than just a supreme being that created the earth. As one writer I love to read put it, it is possible for us as His children to see the invisible things of God in this world that is around us. We can see His eternal power. We can see His supreme intelligence. We can see His incredible force or His incredible energy, if you will. Man, all you got to do is look at the way God created the planets and the stars and the moons. Look at the way He created the animals. Look at the way He created the plants. Look at the way He created man and woman. And what do you see? You see structure. You see variety. You see incredible beauty. But you also see arrangement. And you see perfect order. Only God can do such a thing. God continually declares His great glory through creation. And if He is a God of love, He's also testifying of that too. I think unlike any other in Scripture, King David understood this principle. Notice what he said when he wrote Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Every day the sun sets. And what are we doing? We miss it. I want to tell you something. Anytime you can do something, anything, that will make a soon-to-be 11-year-old put her iPod down and say, "Daddy, look at that sunset." You've done something. Amen. Sarah and I were riding home the other day. I had my head down. Life was happening at the speed of light. And we were heading home the other day. And my child looked up and she said, "Daddy, look over there. Look at that amazing sunset." And I said, "Wow, God, I'm sorry. Here you were testifying to Your majesty, Your magnificence." And I was missing it, but my child caught it. And I said, "Now God, what is that color right there? For man can never duplicate it. Man can never match it. Words can't even describe it, God." The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. I would ask you, how long has it been since you took a minute and you stopped and you just said, "Oh God, thank You for continually 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, declaring Your glory first and foremost by this world that is around me. And then, Lord God, at the same time, because You are a God of love, declaring Your great love for Your greatest creation in this world that You created for us to live in." And how many times you get out of the car after a hard day at the office, and you walk straight into the house like this, failing to look up and see those stars that are twinkling, declaring the greatness, the majesty, the magnitude of God. Each one of those stars was created uniquely. You realize that? No two are exactly the same. You see, only God can. And say, "You know what? Right over here in this corner, way back there, I want to create a star. I want to put it there, and I want to use it for my divine purposes." Just the same as only the Lord God can say, "Okay, right here in Surrey County, North Carolina, I'm going to plant a church, and I'm going to call it Cornerstone, and I'm going to use it for my kingdom work." Only God can do such a thing. Look at verse 2. day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard.
Every day, this world in which we experience proclaims in wordless speech majesty, the magnificence and the magnitude of our God. Now think about that. All right, Matt, go back to that picture of stars. Those stars, with all that they are declaring wordlessly the greatness of our God, the great love of God. And what do we sometimes do? Let's be real. Those stars, with all that they are, proclaiming who God is. And so many times, we expend a whole lot of energy that sounds like a clamoring cymbal, proclaiming the hollow, empty greatness of the God of self. We can learn a lot from stars. And I would ask you, are you willing to put away the God of self? Oh, that we would turn loose of our own plans. Oh, that we would turn loose of our own agendas. That we would turn loose of our own thoughts, our own wants, our own wishes, and just refocus on the one who loves us more than we could ever love ourselves, who daily uses all that we experience to declare His glory and demonstrate His great love, because He made this place as a place for you and I to dwell. Lastly, this morning, I would ask you, before we move,
in all that you experience in creation, does He not deserve to be loved above all? That ought to be enough. The fact that He loves us personally ought to make us want to love Him above all. And you stack on that the fact that His love is one that we can experience. His glory is one that we can experience on a daily basis. That ought to make us love Him above all. But God loved us even further, for He loved us all the way to the cross. He loved us sacrificially. He loved us before we were ever born.
And no other place in all of history and all of time was the great love of God more clearly demonstrated at the cross. For at the cross,
the Creator sacrificed Himself for the created. At the cross, the one who created it all, the one who has it all, gave His all that you and I might have it all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have what, church? Everlasting life. That's intense love, amen?
Does He not deserve for us to get over ourselves and love Him above all?
And my time's gone, but I want to ask you one last question. You ever take Him for granted?
Do you?
I do.
Very often I find myself from time to time taking God for granted. You know, when you've been in church for a long time, that tends to happen sometimes, don't it? We tend to take God for granted. You know, sometimes that happens when you've been married for a while.
Vicki and I have been married for 20 years this September. I was looking recently at some photos we have hanging in our foyer. And I was looking at those wedding pictures. I realized some very significant things. First off, I had a whole lot more hair 20 years ago. I was a whole lot smaller 20 years ago. My wife shaking her head. Uh-huh. I also realized very quickly I married up. And then God convicted me and said, you know what? Very often you take the great love, the great beauty that I put in and on your wife for granted, just the same as you do to me. I got you, Lord. So I want to ask you this morning, in closing, I know it's getting late, when you utter this word, when you utter the name of God, does your heart still skip a beat? Does it still skip a beat when you think about the fact that your God loves you so deeply and so personally and so intimately? Does it still skip a beat when you think about the fact that your God created all that you experience on a daily basis for you? As a place for you to live for this time, for this season in your life. Does your heart still skip a beat when you think about the fact that He is with you everywhere that you go?
When you think about the fact that He went to the cross for you. Not one single sin you've ever committed in your life surprised your God. Still hurt Him. He never stopped loving you. Do you love Him? Do you love Him above all?
You should. Church, you've got to get this part of things right before anything can change, before any healing can begin, before any blessings can fall. He must be loved first, above all.